Broadway Hour. This is Stuart Klein. I'm your host for the Broadway Hour. Stay tuned for what I hope will be an invigorating 60 minutes all about the theater. Here on WEVD every Monday night from 7 to 8, brought to you by Sheraton New York Hotel and Towers and Chemical Bank. Hello and welcome to the Broadway Hour. I'm Stuart Klein, your host for the next 60 minutes of Broadway news, Broadway interviews, Broadway songs, and Broadway gossip, and much ado about Off-Broadway 2. We're coming to you from the Sheraton New York Hotel and Towers at 53rd Street, overlooking scenic 7th Avenue, where we have our live taping in the Lobby Court Lounge. You're invited to join us for the taping every Thursday afternoon between 4:30 and 6. We have a rather distinguished audience today, and we have some very distinguished guests. The inimitable Mickey Rooney, the Warren Vache Quartet, and actor-director Don Scardino.
Yes!
So stay tuned for the talk of Broadway, much Broadway music, and our trivia contest with a chance for you to win some prizes.
We'll have Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, too. It's lovely.
The person singing is our first guest. He made his stage debut as a baby. He went on to Hollywood in a screen career that made his movies and himself an indelible part of Americana. And now he's starring on Broadway in the Will Rogers Follies. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mickey Rooney.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Stuart.
Mickey, it's
thank you for that, in all you ladies and gentlemen here in the court of the Sheraton. Thank you for that very nice ovation. I certainly appreciate it. And, Stuart, it's a pleasure being invited on your program.
It's a real treat for me, Mickey. You play in Will Rogers' Folly. You're playing the role
with Larry Gatlin, who I think is probably one of Broadway's newest and biggest stars. And there is nobody in the world, I don't believe, without any equivocation, I don't believe there's anybody that sings greater than Larry Gatlin.
Mickey, you play the role of Will's father.
I certainly do.
Who was an Oklahoman and part Cherokee.
Part Cherokee.
Is there any trace of that in your ethnic and geographical roots?
No. A lot of people think that Mickey Rooney is Irish. Uh-huh. Actually, I think I am in a certain way. My father was born in Glasgow, Scotland. I'm a Scot. My real name is Joseph Yule, Y-U-L-E.
And where were you born, Nick?
I was born in Brooklyn, New York.
Not Oklahoma.
No, not... I don't know where I was assembled, but I was delivered in Brooklyn.
How did you prepare for the role of a part Cherokee Oklahoman?
I got dressed. No, we have a marvelous time. I think we have the most wonderful cast. And I think that Comden and Green's lyrics that they've done with taking Gregory Peck as Florence Ziegfeld.
Right.
And then, of course, Peter Stone's book and Tommy Toon's choreography. And being asked to be in it after I was in Chicago doing Lend Me a Tenor for about 12 weeks. And... they wondered, and they called me in Chicago and asked me if I could come in and play. I said, well, I said, as soon as I get through, I said, I don't know. But then I finally did. I did make it available for myself to be in this great show, and I'm so happy because I think Mr. Rogers himself would have wanted me in the show.
You once made a movie with
him. You know,
I'm the only
man alive who actually did a picture with Will Rogers. And somebody... wrote me a letter the other day because I had told somebody, I think it was on the Sally Jesse Raphael show that I was on, or some show in New York here. And I told them about having done the county chairman with Will Rogers.
Did he?
And I was 8 years old, and that was made in 1928. Huh. So I got a letter at the theater the other day and said, well, county chairman was released in 1935, and you would have been 14 or 15. And I didn't want to, what could I say? It was a letter. Because in 1935, Mr. Rogers, unfortunately, was killed with Wiley Post. Right. So I couldn't have made the picture with him in Alaska as he was going down.
Mickey, I suppose it's no detriment to you that you're performing in a show that has about 400 gorgeous chorus girls, not one of whom is overly dressed.
I think that Tommy Toon, the moment that he takes into consideration any kind of a show that he is going to be associated with and reaches out for, I think, not only beauty, but they have to be very talented. And I think that they have just done a magnificent job. I think that all of the young ladies in the show are very, very, very actually just gorgeous and very marvelous, very talented. That is the most important thing, I think, of all.
Am I correct in assuming that you're behaving yourself backstage, Mickey?
I don't know why you would say a thing like that. I have been happily married for 19 years to Jan Chamberlain. Congrats. And my days of looking any other way but home has stopped a long time ago.
Mickey, you've come full circle now. You're starring on stage, which is where you made your performing debut. Exactly how old were you when you first appeared on stage, and what were the circumstances?
Well, you'd have had to get my book, which Random House ruined. I did an autobiography for them called Life is Too Short. And it took me about 7 years to write it because I was working intermittently and I had a lot of research to do on the book. And I just dislike so much celebrity books. Mm. And they gave me a nice hunk of money to write the book, so I did. And nobody wrote it for me. I am a writer. I've written 7 novels. And I have a new novel coming out and just made a wonderful deal with a new house, literary house here in New York. And you might be very happy to look forward to reading Search for Sunny Skies.
Okay.
And
are you going to give me an answer to my question about what? When you made your debut?
Oh, when I'm sorry. I should have. I started in a diatribe there of some sorts because I was so enthused about the writing element of
right.
it. The fact that I was going to say you could have read about that in my autobiography.
Well, actually, I did, but I was hoping you'd tell our listeners.
I was actually 13 months old when I first went on the stage.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't here in New York. It was in Chicago and at the old Haymarket Theater. My mother and father were in burlesque. And of course, later on, as years would have it, my father played in Finian's Rainbow. I'll never forget having sat at the piano at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer next to Burton Lane as he was doing a song. And I said, "What do you call the song, Bert?" He said, "I call it How Are Things in Glockamora." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm writing with Yip Harburg a new show called Finian's Rainbow." And I said, "Oh, it's got to be just glorious." And wouldn't you know that my father turned out to do Finian in Finian's Rainbow. I was so proud of that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Mickey, we got to go to a commercial break. We'll be back with Mickey Rooney.
I don't see why
Rooney
you shouldn't, because they're paying the bills, Stu.
On that moment, let's go to a break. For all the latest information on Broadway and off-Broadway shows, call the Broadway line 212-563-BWAY. This user-friendly interactive telephone service puts Broadway at your fingertips. It provides callers with touch-tone phones with brief show descriptions, performance schedules, theater locations, and the ability to purchase tickets. The Broadway line is a local call in the New York area, so call it now, 212-563-BWAY. We're back with Mickey Rooney. Mickey, you went to Hollywood as a kid. You made those wonderful Mickey Maguire shorts. Then you started to make...
Do you know what? Speaking of Mickey Maguire shorts, someone came to the theater last night who owned all of the rights to the Toonerville trolleys of the Mickey Maguire comedies that yours truly had done when I was 5 and 6 years old. When I first met Walt Disney... when I was 6, and he showed me this mouse, And I said, "What is your name, sir?" And he said, "My name's Walt Disney. Would you like to sit on my lap, son?" And I said, "Thanks." And I looked at the mouse and I said, "Gee, this is terrific." I said, "It's wonderful mouse, Mr. Disney." He said, "What did you say your name was?" I said, "Mickey Maguire," because I was making the Mickey Maguire comedies. He said, "How would me to name this mouse for you?" I said, "Oh, I'd love that, but right now I got to get an egg salad sandwich, Mr. Disney." Believe it or not.
So Mickey Mouse was named after?
After Mickey Maguire, yours truly.
Good
yeah.
Heavens.
And every time I see Mickey Mouse and I realize of the enormity of the Disney operation, I kind of laugh to myself and say, that the mouse is me.
Okay.
That's the Mick.
After the Mickey Maguire shorts, you started to make feature movies, and very quickly the Andy Hardy series came along. And by the time you were
No, they didn't come along quickly, Stu. Well, I don't mean to correct you, but you know, I've been in this year, I will have been 73 on September 23rd. I'll have 73 blows at the plate. And I'll have been in motion pictures for 72 years in theatrical business, actually, because I was just 12 months old when I crawled out on the stage. And, well, you know, that's where I live, is on the stage. And being on Broadway, naturally, when I came back and did with Ann Miller, Sugar Babies at the Hellinger, and that was produced by my good friend Terry Allen Kramer, and, of course, the Niederlanders that owned the theater at the time, which is right across, I understand, from the Gershwin Theater. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that running out of the stage door, and Nureyev was doing a performance there. And right after Nureyev, while we were there for over 2.5 years doing Sugar Babies, along came Angela Lansbury, in doing Sweeney Todd. And now Murder, She Wrote has taken over. And when I leave here, I'm just about to do a thing that I've written called Professor Crime. And I'll be doing that all over the world.
What's it about, Mick?
Well, it's about a man who has been teaching criminology at I.E. Stampson University in Glasgow, Scotland. And for 30 years, he's a widower. And he tells everyone that he's going to quit after this certain semester that it's about to take place. And no one likes it. He lives, much like Mr. Chips did, he lives on the university's property. And after I leave, one of my friends from the law department says, "What are you going to do? You're going to quit, Joe?" I use my own name in the Professor Ewell. Mm-hmm. And somebody has scratched out Professor Ewell on the outside of my classroom and written Professor Crime.
Mickey, you mentioned just a second ago a number of great Broadway names. Speaking of great Broadway names, the other night I was speaking to Julie Stein, great composer, Gypsy,
my very
and funny girl.
Friend.
And I told him you were going to be on this program.
Yeah.
And he said to me, "Stuart, you say this to Mickey. Mickey, Julie Stein says that you got to sit down at the piano and play and sing a number. Would you do it?"
Oh, come on.
Honest.
That's very nice of you, but you know what? I've got news for you. The thing is, Stu, that I'm not trying to beg off from
it. Okay.
But the fact is that playing the piano and singing is not my forte now.
Well, Julie said that, it was sensational.
Well, you played Manhattan. Do you know that I'm very proud of the fact that that song, that I was the first million-seller record in the record business, Manhattan was?
I'll be darned.
Yeah. And like Judy, and when I play at the Palace Theater every night now, that's where Judy made all of her return triumphs. Mm. There's such great, great feelings in my bones and my heart, of the nostalgia of being where Judy was and loving her so much as I did.
When you look back on all of those wonderful musicals you made with Judy Garland, and now we know through all of these biographies.
We made 11 of those, you know.
say, why don't we put on our own show?
Yeah, show in the barn. They just ran the other night. Somebody was telling me that they ran Babes on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And Richard Quine was in it. Ray McDonald, Faye Bainter. My golly.
Mickey.
And I looked at all of those people. And do you know that I'm the only survivor today of all of the people in all of those pictures?
Well, you're still thriving. And if anybody wants to see Mickey Rooney in action, he's on Broadway in Will Rogers' Follies.
Hey, listen, incidentally, I think, well, not because I'm in it, friends, but I think that the Will Rogers' Follies is one of the best shows that anybody could ever be remotely connected with. I think that Larry, to be repetitious, I think that Larry Gatlin is absolutely magnificent.
And you're not bad yourself. Well, Mickey Rooney, ladies and gentlemen. Mickey, thanks a million for visiting us on the Broadway. I wish we could go on forever.
Incidentally, Stuart, before I go, I want to just say it's been nice trying to talk to you. But incidentally, I hope that you'll ask me back again.
I wish we could go on forever.
God love you.
Thanks so much. Mickey Rooney,
so everybody. Long, everybody.
We'll be back with the Warren Vache Quartet after these words. We're back. Just about every week on the Broadway Hour, you hear live some Broadway melodies sung. Well, today you're going to hear some swung. With us live today, adding a jazz flavor to the Broadway Hour, is the Warren Vache Quartet. Janice Friedman on piano, Joe Puma on guitar, Mary Wall on bass, and on cornet, Warren Vache, one of the great horn players in jazz today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Warren Vache Quartet. Thank you. Yeah. Warren Vache, If I Were a Bell from Guys and Dolls. We're hearing another tune from Warren in just a minute. First, let's go to the Broadway update. She Loves Me, the Bach Harnick musical that had a dazzling revival at the Roundabout, reopened September 28th at the Brooks Atkinson Theater. There's one cast change. Replacing Judy Kuhn as Amelia is Diane Frantantoni, most recently Grisabella in Cats. Josephine, a new musical about Josephine Baker by Ernest Canoy and Walter Marx, opens next week at TheaterWorks in Palo Alto, California. Della Reese is in the cast. From London comes word of the next big Cameron Mackintosh project, Martin Guerre, a musical version of the French movie about a medieval mystery. The creators are the same team who made Les Mis and Miss Saigon, and delivery date of the show is spring of 1995. Annie Warbucks, the long-delayed sequel to the musical Annie, got a mixed reception from the critics. The Daily News was a rave, the Times ho-hum, the Post a flat-out pan. We thought the show was relentlessly mediocre. Victor Victoria, starring Julie Andrews, the stage musical version of the hit film, could be coming to Broadway in the spring. That's what composer Henry Mancini says. Mancini said he and Leslie Brickus had already written most of the score. Mark Lynn Baker will play a comedy writer in Laughter on the 23rd Floor, the new Neil Simon comedy based on Simon's days as a writer on the old Sid Caesar show. Baker played a similar role in the hit film My Favorite Year. Brooklyn is getting a touch of Shakespeare, starting performances Wednesday in Prospect Park as Othello, a production of the Kings County Shakespeare Festival. Admission is free. And speaking of Shakespeare, listen to this. Nada, the little theater company downtown on Ludlow Street, is launching a Hamlet Festival starting September 9th. Over the course of 3 months, it will offer 18 different versions of Hamlet, from the original text to a one-woman version called Gertrude's Revenge to Hamster, quote, perhaps the first production of Hamlet in history to cast animals in human roles. It says here that Horatio will be played by a dog. That's the latest on the arts. Let's go back to the Warren Vache Quartet. Guys, you're on. Thank you. Warren Vache Quartet and Stranger in Paradise from Kismet. Warren, that's wonderful. Warren Vache, he's still a very young cat. And in that short space of time, he's showing me some of the hair he no longer has. But Warren, you should know, he toured with Benny Goodman. He's been a featured soloist for a long time with Rosemary Clooney, wherever she's gone. He's recorded some sparkling jazz albums, and Warren has a new album coming out shortly on the Muse label, M-U-S-E. Next month, Warren will be appearing at Struggles in Edgewater, New Jersey. I love you, babe. And we're going to hear, so I'm going to get another tune out of you yet before the program's over. We're back, and it's trivia time. This week's question is, what play starts with the two words, who's there? If you know the answer, send it to the Broadway Hour, care of WEVD 770 Broadway, New York, New York. We'll announce the winner on next week's show, and the winner will receive a gift certificate from One Schubert Alley. Last week's question was, name the play that had this line, quote, we're out of cornflakes, F you. Now, I promised that last week, when I announced that question, that it was clean, and it is. And Ellen Dweck, I think I better spell that last name, D-W-E-C-K. Ellen Dweck of East Brunswick, New Jersey, knew the answer. The line comes from the play The Odd Couple. It's the line spoken by Oscar Madison after he picks up a note that was written to him from Felix Unger. And he reads the line out loud, we're out of cornflakes, F you. Neil Simon says that that is the single biggest laugh he ever got in the theater. Congratulations, Ellen Dweck of East Brunswick, New Jersey. You get a gift certificate to One Schubert Alley. On your next visit to Broadway, stop by One Schubert Alley, Broadway's exclusive gift shop, One Schubert Alley between the Booth and Schubert Theaters on West 44th Street. That music comes from a show in which our next guest had the privilege of appearing. He has starred on Broadway as an actor. He directed the long-running hit A Few Good Men. Now he's artistic director of the esteemed off-Broadway company Playwrights Horizon. Ladies and gentlemen, Don Scardino.
Hey. Thanks, Stuart.
Don, that music we just heard was from Godspell, and I think I first saw you perform in Godspell in 18...
That's right. Actually, it was the original company back in Palestine, I think. That's how long ago. I did over 1,000 performances.
Good heavens.
Of Jesus. Being crucified 8 times a week was no picnic, let me tell you. But I hear that music, and I immediately want to throw myself on a fence.
Don, I ran through your credits very briefly. Give me a brief biography of yourself.
Good gosh.
Where are you from?
Well, I grew up in Queens, son of jazz musician parents. Both my parents are jazz musicians. Started acting when I was 12 in 1960. Been in, I don't know, a dozen Broadway plays, a lot of off-Broadway plays. I'm getting my act together and taking it much too seriously at the Public Theater. King of Hearts, Angel, Moon Children, and then Godspell, how I got that story. Did a bunch of movies in the 70s, Cruising, He Knows You're Alone. We have an associate producer of He Knows You're Alone.
I see, the esteemed
Nan
producer,
Perlman.
Nan Perlman.
And then started directing.
How did that happen? How did you start directing?
I had done How I Got That Story at the West Side Arts Theater. And finally, when it closed, the author recommended me to direct a production. And I was so impressed with him and so flattered that he asked me that I said, sure, I'll do it. And suddenly I found myself directing. And I went from being the juvenile to being the daddy overnight. And it was so satisfying.
This may sound like a very naive question, but what does it take to direct? I mean, you went directly from actor to director with, you say,
yes,
just
no,
don't like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I suppose I always had a slight orientation for it. I'm a, I, I've always been a big fan of good writing, and I always found the playwright the most interesting guy in the room. So I think a director has to have a good sense of what works on the page and what doesn't. I like actors, and I found that a lot of directors I'd worked with didn't really like actors.
Give me a sample.
You want name names?
Well, you don't have to name names, but if you'd like to.
It goes without saying, I think that directors are control freaks a little bit. I mean, it's one of the reasons why they become directors, so they can make the picture work and make everything happen. And I think they get a little nervous when actors want to take a little more control away from them. And of course, coming from an acting background, I love to let actors go and let actors play. And I think you get great work out of actors when you do that. And I've worked with some actors that were sort of notoriously difficult. I worked with Leslie Ann Warren, and everybody said, oh, gee, you don't want to work with her. She asks a million questions, and she's very insecure and all this. Well, I said, well, that just defines an actor to me. I mean, and I loved working with her, and all her questions were good ones.
I love that classic question about, I don't remember the director who said it, but an actor asked the director, what is my motivation? And the director said,
your paycheck.
Exactly.
That's right.
Well, Don, you're not only a director now, but you're an artistic director as well of the Playwrights Horizon Company. And I want to ask you about what's coming up on your season this year. I know you have a very detailed and ambitious season, but first, let's take this commercial break. If you need a place where salespeople take the time to help you find the best in stereos, videos, and all consumer electronics, a place with excellent selections at the best prices in town with free delivery in Manhattan, just visit Uncle Stereo, open 7 days a week, located on the east side and west side. Call us at 212-721-7500. Remember, for price and advice, we're very nice at Uncle's Stereo. Donnie, just to familiarize our audience with Playwrights Horizon, it has a very good track record. What are some of the hits in the past?
Well, it's you know, Playwrights Horizon have won several Pulitzer prizes. Wendy Wasserstein's The Heidi Chronicles. They did Once on This Island. They did some of the Stephen Sondheim work, Assassins, and of course Sunday in the Park with George. Last year and a half ago, we had a hit with Marvin's Room, which moved off Broadway. And this year, we've just moved Later Life, the Pete Gurney, A.R. Gurney play, from Playwrights Horizons to the West Side Theater on 43rd Street, where it's selling out.
And what do you have on tap coming up this season?
Well, it's very interesting. We have four plays this season. First play is called Sophistry by a young man named Jonathan Mark Sherman, who wrote a play called Women in Wallace that we did on American Playhouse. Very interesting young writer. He's 24 years old, and he's brilliant. And this is it's about sexual harassment again, like Oleana, but it's told from both sides of the story, sort of Rashomon-like. You never quite know who's telling the truth, you know. It's very, very good.
Who are the principals? Who is being sexually harassed?
It's Austin Pendleton plays a teacher at a college in New England, and there's a young boy who claims he's been sexually harassed.
Well, that's
by
a
the
switch.
Teacher. So it is a switch. It is a switch. And then we're doing Peter Parnell's play, An Imaginary Life, which we're casting now, which is a very funny play, very beautiful play. And I can only describe it in that it's almost a play within a play within a play within a play. And it just keeps revealing itself. It's about a writer trying to deal with his life, and you realize that what you're seeing is not his real life, but his fantasy, his written version of his life. And every time you think you have it, you realize, no, we're watching a written version. And every time you think you've got reality again, he pulls the rug out from under you. So it's a very funny, sweet, and interesting play. Then a terrific musical called Avenue X. This is a musical takes place in 1963, It's about racial tensions across Avenue X in Brooklyn, and it's all a cappella. To my knowledge, it's the first a cappella musical ever written, and Chapman Roberts, who did all the vocal arrangements for Five Guys Named Mo and going all the way back to Hair, is in the vocal arrangements. It's got an incredible sound.
No musical instruments.
No, all the instrumentation comes from the voice. It's really incredible, and encompasses everything from opera to doo-wop, to soul, to sort of traditional music, Broadway music. It's really exciting. We did a workshop of it in our new theater wing, and you couldn't get a ticket. Audiences loved it. It's a very gripping story, and it's very novel way of telling the story. So that's our third play on the main stage. And then finally, we end with a play called Moe's Lucky Seven, which is a comedy set in a bar room about Adam and Eve, no less, by a woman named Marlena Meyer. So it's quite a season. Then we have all our developmental work, and I have a film coming up on HBO that I directed with Tracy Ullman called Tracy Ullman Takes on New York. It comes on in October. It's Tracy Ullman and Michael Tucker and Jill Eikenberry and Michael York and Blythe Danner. It's a great cast.
And this has a story to it?
There are three interlocking stories. It's three different couples that come to New York and find themselves in one sort of trouble or another. And Tracy plays five roles, including her own mother in one version. She plays scenes with herself. It's amazing. She's a brilliant actress. So that's coming up in October. In September, at the Paris Theater, my first feature film that I directed opens.
Oh, what's that?
It's called Me and Veronica. It's with Elizabeth McGovern, John Hurd, Patricia Wedig, and Michael O'Keefe.
Now, the Paris Theater is traditionally a very arty house.
Well, it's a rather arty movie, actually. People have said, we played the Venice Film Festival and the London Film Festival this year, and they said... It is very much like a European film in tone.
And it's about?
It's about two sisters who haven't seen each other for 5 years, Liz McGovern and Patricia Wedig, and they meet after 5 years, and there's this real deep, dark secret between them, and we don't know what it is, and gradually it unfolds, and I won't tell you what it is. You have to come to the Paris.
Don, you look like you're getting a kick out of life.
I am. I'm certainly cooking on all burners, that's for sure.
Well, I think it feels good to be used up, to use every part of yourself.
It does. It does.
I remember when Helen Hayes, right before she passed away, she gave a speech before some group in Washington, and she talked about that very thing, and she quoted a letter from George Bernard Shaw, who wrote, "I am part of the community. And I want to do everything in my power to help the community. And when I die, I want to feel that I have used every fiber of my being. I want to feel used up."
Mm.
So it's nice to be working.
I subscribe to that theory. I do. Uh-huh. That's one of the great things about Playwrights Horizons, really, is that it is really in service to the artistic community. It's a place for artists to come and fail. It's a place for artists to risk. Because we have a lot, since it's a funded theater, we have a lot of protected programs, things that the public never see, but help us develop pieces and give writers a chance to see their work grow. It's really a very valuable place.
Don, as artistic director, do you make the final choice from scripts submitted as to what will be put on?
Guilty. I'm afraid I'm the one on whose shoulders it rests, yeah.
Have you ever passed up on something and regretted it?
Not yet. I mean, okay. I've only been there a year and a half, so okay. It's too early to tell, but okay. Hopefully knock wood, I haven't.
Well, that's an enormous responsibility. Sometimes it's difficult to recognize on the printed page what will play and what won't.
This is true. It's true, and it's been interesting, actually. Some of my staff thought the A.R. Gurney play was a nice play, but didn't see what I saw in my head. I didn't see the emotional content of this play and how I think... For Pete Gurney, it goes farther emotionally than anything since Love Letters, really. And some people on the staff thought, well, it's slight. Why would you want to do it? But we did it and put it up, and it got wonderful reviews, and people got the emotional punch. But you're right. I guess it takes a visceral response to something and a knowledge that what you're after is in there and that the audience is going to get it.
Don, with all these facets of yourself at work, is there anything that you've always wanted to do that you haven't done yet that you'd really love to do?
Yeah, I'd like to have kids.
Well, stop looking at me.
Yeah, but well, who has time with all this work?
Are you married?
No, but I'm looking, ladies. Anybody?
I think you're putting the cart before the horse.
I'm looking for a donor. Yeah, right.
Well, Don, I want to wish you the very best of luck in all your endeavors. Any last words you want to make about anything, Godspell or theater or playwrights?
I think I want everyone to go to the theater. Come to my theater, but go to all the theater. You know, the theater needs your support. So I encourage everybody to get out there. That show you've been putting off that you've been wanting to see, go buy a ticket. Go.
And when does the season start at Playwrights Horizon?
It starts October 5th.
And the first play is
Sophistry.
Sophistry.
Yes.
Sophistry by
Jonathan Mark Sherman.
Artistically directed by Don Scardino. Don, thanks a million.
Thanks,
it's a pleasure speaking to you.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Joe.
Are we going right to the band? Well, let's have one more lick from the estimable Warren Vache Quartet.
Thank you.
Warren Vache, Andrew. Guys, I love you. Warren, that was wonderful. Wonderful. I'm being accosted by Scott Garrity, the chef here at Bistro
790.
I got, what is this, Scott?
Oh, in honor of Mickey Rooney today, we have cowboy steaks with grilled Tuscan bread and a little tumbleweed onions.
It looks short to me.
Enjoy. Just a little. Only on the compact.
Thank you, Scott.
Have a nice evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Broadway Hour. Thanks to our guests, Mickey Rooney, the Warren Vache Quartet, and Don Scardino. Special thanks to Kevin Pauley and Mary Kay Hamelian for getting our guests here. The Broadway Hour is here on WEVD every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. I'd like to thank the sponsors of the Broadway Hour, Chemical Bank, the Sheraton New York Hotel and Towers, and Champagne Taittinger, the official champagne of the Broadway Hour. Thanks to our executive producer, Kate McGrath, engineer Chris Breitfeldt, and special thanks to Bob August and all the folks at WEVD. This is Stuart Klein for the Broadway Hour. Good night and break a leg. Go ahead, play. Thank you.